The Gospel of Jesus Christ, according to Luke, chapter 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to thee, in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So this is the introduction to the Gospel of Luke, or the Gospel according to Luke. Because it is but one Gospel, and it is the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And many have taken in hand to set forth a declaration, a narrative, of the life of Christ, and of the teachings of Christ. And these are the things that we all believe. You know, he's not setting his gospel in opposition to others, but that there ought to be another witness to the things that they know are true, and the things that they surely believed, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Referring back to the apostles, Luke was in communication with the apostles and with eyewitnesses. And he wants to set in order a declaration, a narrative of those things which we believe as they were delivered to us by them or from them, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. He's about to talk about the conception of John and the conception of Jesus in more detail than the other Gospels. And he wasn't an eyewitness. But he went to eyewitnesses, and he talked to people who were still alive at the time of Christ and gathered the accounts in order to make his gospel. So Luke's gospel is the gospel of a reporter. Whereas Matthew and Mark wrote from their own personal experience with Christ, Matthew has this close proximity to Christ and his doctrine. Being an apostle, always with him, he has a lot of the teachings of Jesus. Whereas Mark, being not an apostle, but one of the disciples, he was in close proximity to Christ as well, and he wrote his account, though he did not have the same amount of doctrine that Matthew did. He had the general feeling of Christ's teaching, but his accounts are of many of the miracles that he performed. And Luke also has a lot of doctrine and a lot of the incidents that occurred in the life of Jesus, and he goes and he collects eyewitness accounts. That is how his gospel came to be. And of course, John also was an eyewitness writing his own account. I mean, he certainly had a perfect understanding because he's being moved by the Holy Spirit to write this gospel. And God is giving him a perfect understanding, a complete understanding of what he needs to do, of what he needs to communicate. The sense of what he's saying here is, I went to eyewitnesses and I got my account from people who knew him, because I wanted to make sure their accounts of all these eyewitnesses, people who knew Christ, being written down. Of the ministers of the word, of the various apostles, you know, and through Luke, the voices of the apostles are heard, and the voices of Mary and Martha and others who don't speak in the other gospels, because Luke went back. I'm going to set forth a declaration of those things which are believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, meaning somebody delivered these declarations, these accounts, these narratives to us. Who are they? They are they which were from the beginning eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. So eyewitnesses and ministers, the apostles and also other people who were eyewitnesses. And so between the eyewitness accounts and the Holy Spirit, he has set forth to give us an accurate gospel. That was his goal. He wants to give us to know the certainty of the things which we have been instructed in. This title, Most Excellent Theophilus. Theophilus means beloved of God. Most Excellence is a title of social degree. So, and nothing more I could say about this. This person is never really mentioned otherwise, as far as I'm aware. Verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they were both now well stricken in years, Zacharias. He is of the course of Abiah. Abiah the priest is named in 1 Chronicles 24:10 and Nehemiah 12:17. And out of the four who returned from Babylon, they formed these 24 courses. I mean, the four priests, they then subdivided it. The priests served in the temple by course. So if you were of the course of Abiah, you would serve from a particular date to a particular date. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. It is always God's mercy that makes us ultimately righteous in his eyes, because we may still be in the sight of God a sinner. That is why the grace and mercy of God was as necessary in the Old Testament as it is in the New. But as according to the righteousness which is of the law, they were without blame. They followed the law, they followed the commandments of God, and they were absolutely blameless, completely righteous. They kept the law with their whole hearts and with their whole minds. And so they lack a child. Verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing in the right side of the altar of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, that's Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Quite a stunning announcement by the angel of God. This old couple are going to give birth to this son. Notice he says, Thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. Abraham and Sarah had a child in their old age. They were well stricken in years. They were getting on in age.